Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
We're live at East River 9, and as I mentioned previously, you can catch your Open Championship golf out here. You'll be able to see that on Saturday and on Sunday as well. But you'll also be able to watch the World Cup Finals at 2 p.m. on Sunday live out here at East River 9. It's a great spot to come watch. And joining us right now is Glenn Davis. We talk soccer with Glenn every single day, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Glenn, we talked mostly about the semifinal. Well, we talked mostly about England yesterday and tactical stuff. And today we get to the actual finals, and it is the last. It's going to be the last attempt for Lionel Messi to win his second World Cup. Even though he's played at an incredibly high level, and I don't doubt that at age 43 in the next one, he could probably still be a factor. Like, I certainly wouldn't rule him out. I mean, I really wouldn't.
I know. I had to question myself thinking about that the other day on a radio show saying that. I'm like, well, I better slow down here.
Well, this has been two World Cups. There was, like you said, there was doubt before 22, and then they had to wait to see if he would play in 26. And it's kind of a joke to think he wouldn't have played when he won, you know, when they won the World Cup last year, and then the way that he's played this year is a chance to finish with the highest goal count in the entire World Cup. They take on Spain. So let's get to it. In terms of talent level, top to bottom, with the Spanish roster is certainly younger. They're certainly younger at some of the in the starting lineup. They're definitely younger than Argentina is. Argentina, though, is it a negative or a positive that they have eight starters back from the last team? Because, you know, it seems like a positive when they get down because they don't panic, but at the same time, they are a little bit older team right now.
Yeah, one game to go. I think they're going to be able to power through that. Look, Argentina doesn't panic. Argentina knows exactly who they are. Like I mentioned on yesterday's show, they will die to win. They got an exceptional manager in Lionel Scaloni, who, you know, we all talk about how England dropped deep and invited Argentina into the game, but he also made some very, very good and important changes with his substitution pattern at the end of that game, which, you know, probably to all of us, it's obvious you got to get some attacking players on, but, you know, you have to make these calls. And so you got two great managers. I don't know if the age thing is an issue at this point at all. I think they're running on adrenaline. You're playing for a World Cup final. You'll find a way to play. I think the only thing you look at is potentially overall fatigue in the tournament because it's a short tournament. It's come flying by. And I think Spain has Lamine Yamal and Poro reportedly were training on their own. But I, you know, look, at this point, you're grinning and bearing it and you're getting through it. These are the two best teams in the tournament. This is a fascinating matchup. Great coaches, great goalkeepers, superstar talent, and then setups that are designed in a lot of ways to support superstar players.
You mentioned the setup, and every match, particularly when it has two world powers, you're wondering who's going to play counterattacking football, who's going to hold possession. The assumption is that Spain's going to have plenty of the ball because that's just the way they play. Is that what you expect to happen? That Spain will control the tempo?
Spain's lifeblood is possession in the press, but I got to add this to it though. But they are the best positional team. I think against probably what's the best transition team. So the positional play of Spain is just incredible, and every single guy that gets a ball, anybody out there who's listening, you know, when you play soccer, you've been in a game and you get a ball and you control it and you look up and you're getting pressured and you're like, there's nobody there to help you. There's nobody creating angles and support. Well, every guy on Spain, when you watch him play, the movement and everything, when you receive a ball, you have options always. So positionally, I think, is the word that has to be added to the possession side of it and the press. So, you know, is Argentina going to be able to rattle them? Will they come out in the first half and be ultra aggressive like they were against England? What type of refereeing will there be? What is the definition of a foul in this game from the referee? There's just so many different potential things that could happen here. This is what makes it exciting. But you're right, Del. It is a great possession team. This is how they defend. They press. They repress. And we saw them take the lion in France. The number one team, everybody including me, saying they're going to win the World Cup, and they took a ferocious lion and turned it into a little house cat.
Yeah, it was impressive how they did that. I'm curious, you know, South American squads are ready to get rough and tumble when they need to. Certainly, we've seen a couple teams do that against. We saw Paraguay do it against France. We saw Mexico's not a South American team, but they're, you know, they can be bullies when they need to. Argentina's got a little bit of that in them as well. I think we talked about that yesterday. Does that kind of go out the door when you're playing Spain, though, because they're so precise? Like, you really, is there any chance that Argentina could try to make this one a little bit more physical and make it a little more grimy against more of the a Spanish team that is a little more finesse and exact and precise?
Yeah, they're gonna definitely want to play physically. They want to, you know, look, Spain is tempo and rhythm, right? What do you do with tempo and rhythm? Well,
disrupt,
you try to break it.
Break
it, right, exactly. You break it through pressure on the ball. You break it through timely fouls. I mean, that first half, that was a tough game to referee. The England-Argentina game, you had guys bear-hugging each other and throwing them, each other to the ground, and then that kind of all got measured out. You know, it was kind of like a fight where two boxers get in a couple of blows, and then, okay, enough now, let's get down to playing the game. But, no, they'll definitely do that. And I think the guy that they'll really try to make uncomfortable, if it's even possible, is Rodri. And he really is the brains of the operation for Spain. He's just this schemer, this intelligent soccer player that is just so fun to watch. But, you know, they'll try to make it uncomfortable for him. And if they do, and if they prevent him from getting some of the ball, that could maybe, you know, sputter the machine of Spain.
Let's talk about Spain a little bit more. I think because of our focus on France and now Argentina, that this team, who's kind of quietly, at least from what I can tell, quietly gone and done their business and is now in a final. Now they're the European champions. They're trying to win a second World Cup. Are you surprised by what Spain has looked like? Because at times they were criticized for being stale with all the passing. You had Yamal and Williams hadn't been able to really feature very much, and then you saw a different dynamic Spain in the last Euros. What if anything about this Spain team has surprised you through their run?
Yeah, I guess what you're getting at is more chance creation. I don't think they're stale to watch, but I do think sometimes people like to say, well, they overpass it and they don't take responsibility to shoot at certain times. Do they create enough chances off it? I mean, I guess that comes along with it. By the way, they've only conceded one goal in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
Getting through Austria, Portugal, Belgium, and France, they've scored 8 goals. They've conceded one, won the entire tournament. Argentina scored 11 getting through Cabo Verde, Egypt, Switzerland, and England, but have given up 6. So I think that kind of comes with it. But, you know, Oyarzabal up front has 5 goals. So they have a 5-goal score. Yeah, look, we're down to one game here. It's all about winning one game now, and I think, you know, the one thing we look at in their attack is the right side, of course, Lamine Yamal, and you got to adjust for him, but also Poro coming up the right side, who scored that fantastic second goal. in their game against France. That right side of the field is one certainly to keep an eye on, I think. And, you know, the other thing I would just say about Argentina, too, they have long-range power with Enzo Fernandez, who got the important tying goal in the comeback. So that's a player that, you know, Spain is going to have to make sure they close down. I'm sure they're fully aware of him, but a long-range threat is a nice thing to have in a World Cup final.
In general, how do you think that North America has done from a World Cup standpoint?
As far as executing the tournament?
Yeah, I'd say
or all that stuff.
I guess whatever you want to, whatever you want to interpret it as.
I think great. I mean, TV ratings are through the roof. All the games were, you know, packed to the gills. All the talk about the pricing. Well, it looks as though people, you know, at the end of the day, paid for the tickets, and maybe they lowered the prices a little bit as they got closer to games. I don't know that whole thing, but you know, everything looks great to me. What is the impact, and how do you quantify that? Well, you know, we'll see. I don't know if that's an easy thing to quantify. Certainly, people are talking about it. Hopefully, it's going to. I'm sure it has bled into, you know, young players watching this, being inspired. I mean, that's what you always want out of World Cups. I just want to remind people that, you know, we aren't Spain. We aren't Argentina. Our country's a lot bigger. We have three other traditional sports. That doesn't include hockey and lifestyle. So, you know, to drill down and be able to institute a standardized thought process on culturally how we play the game, it is not an easy thing to do. And you know, there is a lot of ignorance around this topic. And that even comes from a lot of international soccer fans, because they don't sometimes put it in context that, you know, listen, this is a completely different country when you've got these three other very dominant sports, which, by the way, once the World Cup's over, there's going to be commentators all over the country on the radio and everywhere going, thank God that's over, because I know nothing about it, and I had to plow through that for 7 or 8 weeks, you know? So, you know, we're just a different sort of country when it comes to all this. But our appetite for the game here,
it's growing.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
got a huge appetite for the game.
It's bigger than a lot of people realize. It's growing, and I know there's
a lot of professional
athletes. I know in football and basketball, I can't really speak to baseball as much. I haven't seen it as much. Who are international soccer fans? I mean, it's something that a lot of them have picked up, and I do think it's going to be. You have some people who think, you know, they're tired of basketball's gotten to be a 3-and-D type. You know, basketball has really gone from being the beautiful game to being, it's just a 3-point shootout in many regards.
It has
baseball,
gotten boring. I'll say that it has gotten boring.
For some people, they just don't like it. Even though the talent there, I'd say there's still a lot of talent. Basketball, baseball, the pacing is not going to be for everyone. It is what it is. And even though they try to make up for it, I think soccer, because it's a lot tighter in terms of the game time and the window, because it's flowing action for 45 minutes, and then you have shorter half times, and then another 45 plus extra time.
Well,
I think
so
that's
you got the hydration breaks.
Well, yeah, you have that for these matches.
Let's see if that gets carried over into other leagues. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll bet you international they won't have that, and of course it's not going to be as hot in a lot of those matches. But I do think it lends itself to younger people getting more and more into local and international soccer in terms of a viewing, certainly from a viewing experience, because it is. It's constant action, even though there's not a bunch of goals. It's constant action. It's constant movement. It's a shorter game. You have less time that you have to, apply there. It runs concurrent
with the 2-hour TV window perfectly, right?
Yeah, fits in perfectly. It runs concurrent during the college football season. Starts at about the same time. You can watch those matches before college football starts, which I do oftentimes. Before we let you go for the day, Lamine Yamal's in his first World Cup. He just turned 19 years old. Lionel Messi is presumably in his last World Cup. That can't be lost on anyone, that because Messi got started so young in his World Cup journey, kind of a cool passing of the torch somewhat, right? Going from, you know, this is the new young star in Lamine Yamal, and this is the guy who's considered by many to be the greatest to play the game, and certainly playing at a high level still. That can't be lost on a broadcaster and a former player like you, that you have this circle of, I don't want to say circle of life, but you have this, you know, this consistent change that happens. Only this is a very high-end player just starting and a very high-end player on the way out.
Yeah, that's the big storyline coming into the tournament. I mean, you know me, I like leaning towards the tactical side of it. I
sure.
like looking for some of the nuances and maybe some of the players that could be difference makers outside of the stars. But this is a game about stars. It is a game about entertainment now. The World Cup, there is a large increased level of entertainment now. Look, we're watching history. We're watching probably, well, I think most people are going to say he's the greatest player ever. They're going to put him above Maradona now and Pelé and everybody. You know, this is a significant moment in world soccer history with Leo Messi trying to go back-to-back. And then, of course, you know, projecting out, where is Lamine Yamal now 15, 20 years from now? By the way, I've heard people say, well, he hasn't had a good tournament. Well, that's because they're looking at his goals and that kind of thing. But he has been influential in every game. He came into the tournament injured, so he's kind of grown into the tournament. He could be known as the man who helps dismantle Argentina in their want and desire to win back-to-back World Cups.
Glenn, you've done a great job this entire time. I'm not sure. Are you coming on with us Monday or the wrap-up, or is this it?
I don't know. I would think we would put a bow on it Monday.
Yeah, right? I think we're going to put a bow on it Monday. We'll see you Monday then, and that will be brought to you by Dr. Michael Kaplan and Capless Sinus Relief. We appreciate all the great work that you've done and looking forward to this final match on Sunday.
Well, you guys have done a really, really good job of running and doing this segment every time. It's been so much fun. I get up early in the morning. I'm like, I better make sure my alarm's on because I don't want to let anybody down. But we're going to have fun. Where are you guys going to watch it?
I have not decided yet. I really haven't decided yet. I got to see if my son wants to watch it, see if my best friend wants to go somewhere and watch it. I think I want to watch it in public. It's just, you know, how early in advance do I need to get to a spot? I may be out here at East River 9. I have not decided where I'm going to watch it yet, but I'm locked in, and I think I want to watch it with other people. I want to be in a crowd of people that have something. That's one of the fun things about watching, I think, any sporting event, is where you have people who are really, and nothing more than World Cup. I'd say maybe college football, I see that, where, you know, this has been at your heart, maybe inside your family for years and years. You've been an Aggie, for example.
Yep.
Nothing beats World Cup because your entire country is on the line. Like, the nationalism probably trumps everything when it comes to just riding the insane highs and lows of the roller coaster. And I like being amongst that, where I can kind of feel that energy. So I'm watching it somewhere. I just don't know where yet.
Awesome. Well,
I may go to your house. I don't know. We got to see.
That's what we have to remember with the World Cup. It's the entire world.
Yep. All right. Well, Glenn, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you, guys. Lance, Del, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the World Cup final like I think all of us in Houston will.
We will do that. And, you know, actually, I may go to Taqueria Sarandas, as a matter of fact, because that was a great spot for an earlier match for me. And that may be another spot with Argentina and Spain. This might be the spot. Could be the move. We got over 20 locations to choose from. I've got one. It's about 3.5 miles from my house. That would be a good one. There's another location that has a huge sports bar. It's partitioned. The bar is actually separate from the entire restaurant. And John and I went and broadcast there one time, and it is its own sports bar. You know, at Taqueria Sarandas, if you're going to go watch sporting events, including the World Cup finals, could be baseball, you can just pull up, because, you know, Jeremy Pena does a lot of spots for him. You can just pull up to the bar, and they'll have games on. You can get whatever games turned on. They've got a bar menu for you, which is a little different than the restaurant menu, or you can order off the restaurant menu. Drinks, all the drinks that you can imagine, the cocktails. You want a Bloody Mary, you want a Michelada, you want different types of margaritas or beers. Of course, they've got you set up, but authentic Mexican food is their signature. Authentic Mexican food, they have added some Tex-Mex items to the menu, and you're going to get all that sabor, all that flavor at very reasonable prices and good-sized portions as well. Stop in. It's breakfast, it's lunch, it's dinner. It's for your favorite sporting event. It's Taqueria Sarandas.
back with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Top of the leaderboard at the Open, formerly British Open. Lucas Herbert, he was 9 under for the day headed into the final hole. He ended up bogeying that. He still ended up with a 62. It's a par 70. He ended up with a 62. He is 8 under for the tournament, and he is at the top of the leaderboard along with Jackson Suber. Daniel Brown is Suber's minus 6 from the U.S. Daniel Brown is minus 5. You got a couple at minus 5 from a U.S. standpoint. Bud Cauley, Sam Burns are both 4 under. Colin Morikawa is 4 under. Cameron Young is 4 under. And then Patrick Reed is 5 under for the day. So he's made a little jump. He was 2 over yesterday. He's still just minus 3, but he's had a really good round. And then you have DeChambeau is yet to Bryson DeChambeau and Scottie Scheffler. They are actually playing together. They are yet to tee off yet, so they'll be playing together. We're at East River 9. Beautiful sight line to downtown Houston. You got lots of par 3 golf out here, pickleball, driving range, a beautiful spot. You know, big fan. It's just gorgeous. Adele was playing some cornhole before we
that,
got
I
out
couldn't
here.
Even remember what the name was. Playing is a stretch. It was.
You're just
kind of
throwing beanbags around. But
just
yeah,
to pass
that's true.
The time.
I know you're going to watch World Cup. I know you're going to lock in on all 3 Astros games. Those are locks.
Well,
we know this
to
be a fact.
Well,
we know it to be a fact.
I mean,
our guy Peter Lambert is going today.
I suspect lock in is too strong of a way to position it. I will be watching and I will be aware, and then Sunday certainly as the weekend closes out. But today is an Odyssey day.
Well, I was going to say Sean Mapes would have taken today off, and he would have gone to the 11 o'clock showing of the Odyssey today.
No, he is I think a night movie guy.
Well, he took the whole week off for NCAA
That's true,
college football.
But it was the first time since 2014 that the game
Who
was
wants
out.
To go to night movies when it gets crowded and a bunch of people are around?
I don't know. I don't really ask Sean about his personal life because I don't.
Do you want a bunch of people around you?
Because I don't care about.
You want a bunch of people around you?
Personal life, but he may have to work around someone else's schedule, and maybe that particular person may be only available. Because I know we do a job where you think, hey, I got all the time to do whatever I want. Your work day is over sometimes before.
But you're going right after to go see the Odyssey.
I'm going right after we're done here.
My wife said, I can't wait to see it. I need to read the book first, Homer's The Odyssey. I'm like, I'm waiting for all that.
She doesn't know the story?
I said, I'm not waiting for that.
Do you know the story?
Yeah, the Iliad. But I don't remember it. I don't care.
I'll
watch the movie again, but she wants me to wait. She's just waiting until I finish reading the book. I said, that's not going to happen. I said, can you finish it by this weekend where we can watch it on like a Tuesday afternoon where no one's at the theater? Or a limited amount of people at the theater. No, I'm going to listen and read it. I said, I can't. We're not doing that then. Nope. We're not doing all that then.
Well,
so I'll have to watch it.
Have you read it?
My son watched it yesterday. It opened. He went to a 2 o'clock showing yesterday.
Well, they are getting – well, that's generally how it's been, right, with the big movies. Normally it's Thursday night, maybe
he
starting
liked
at
it.
7. But with this one, I'm not surprised that
– 3 hours. He said it was really good, though. 3 hours. That doesn't bother me. I watched Beef. I am loving Beef season 2. I had Okay, I know. I got a lot of stuff going
on
in my head.
Come on, a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, stay on the Odyssey.
Stay on the Odyssey. Mm-hmm. So have you read the Iliad and the Odyssey? Because they're in the same realm, but they're different stories.
I don't think I read the Odyssey. I read the Iliad.
With the Trojan War.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I have.
Remember nothing.
You don't remember anything.
I don't remember shows. I don't remember players I wrote up.
That's true.
From the 26th draft.
So I am not obsessed about watching it on IMAX like some are, to the point where I had Tyler, one of our listeners, called into the show yesterday and said, like our intern Nicholas, he's driving to Dallas because it's mm-hmm. the best IMAX experience in it's not even in the area, but as far as where he can get to, he's going to go there. I will watch it probably at AMC Gulf Point because they have a kind of sort of IMAX experience that I'll go watch, and it's on the way home from here, but I'm excited about it. I like big event movies, and we've got that, and then later on, you got a Spider-Man movie coming up, of course, and then more Marvel stuff. But yeah, Christopher Nolan I'm in on, so I'll watch it today.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Christopher Nolan. Some people are kind of down on him. I personally like what he's doing, so Yeah, I'll see it. It won't. I don't think it'll be today. I've got to do a podcast and some other stuff, and I may or may not wait for the wife. We'll see. I got to see.
You're gonna wait.
I guess I'll wait. Yeah, I'll wait. We don't really do date night. We used to, when we were first married and dating, we would go see about three films a week. We watched them. We watched the artsy movies. We watched anything that was highly rated and highly regarded. And now all she does is read like she's better than everyone, and all I do is stream shows. And that's why I watched Beef Season 2, which is phenomenal, with Oscar Isaac and Carey Mulligan. And I was really impressed. Really, really good. Astros have the Orioles coming up this weekend. And, you know, on paper, they're throwing their three best pitchers, Peter Lambert, then Spencer Arrighetti, and then Hunter Brown, on paper. But we know Arrighetti has been a mess since May. So I don't know where to go with that one. The Orioles are not throwing a great pitching staff at the Astros. So I would think that a 2-3 is a very, very doable goal. I'm guessing the Astros are going to be favored. I think the Astros will be favored in all three. You'll be favored in all three. If they could get out of there with the sweep and get things started, that's going to be great. Hunter, Dana Brown reiterated after the Lance McCullers trade that, you know, they were shaving some salary off. This is something they've been doing, is freeing some money up, and that they are still very much in line and interested in adding a left-handed bat. This whole left-handed bat fascination, just get a good player. I keep hearing about left-handed bat.
He can't get away from it. He's never been able to get it done. Maybe he's so fascinated by having the best left-handed hitter in baseball, he just wants someone else.
I mean, I get one, some balance in your lineup, but just stop telling me about left-handed bat and just get a good player. It's a guy who is a consistent hitter, or somebody who can, you know, hit with some pot. I don't care if it's left-handed or right-handed. You're right. It's been an ongoing obsession for a left-handed bat.
The sirens.
It is a siren song.
Odyssey thing. Uh-huh. It is his white whale, whatever you want to call it. It's the thing he's been trying to chase for years. He can't get away from talking about it. Anytime acquisitions are talked about, left-handed bat. He hasn't been able to find one. Does he get one of any consequence before his time with the Astros is over? I don't know, but to your point, we're struggling to have guys who, you know, can hit. I don't really care what side of the plate he does it.
I just want somebody who has a little pop, that's got an OPS over 750, that can perform for the Astros at an OPS of 750 or higher. And, yeah, you're going to face more righties than lefties, so it makes sense to want a left-handed bat. But this obsession, just find somebody who's a better hitter, somebody that you could presumably put in the outfield, even though, you know, Wade every once in a while will pop up with a nice game from time to time. Bryce Matthews has had some flashes. Cam Smith has had flashes. You just haven't had DeCenzo. You haven't had consistency in you, and that's something that you may not be able to find unless you find it in the trade market. I do think the Astros will make a move. It's not going to be anything that's going to rattle cages or get people excited. It'll be something minor. It'll make sense financially for the team. I mean, I kind of know who the Astros are now, and it's fine. I can't complain too loudly, because they provided me, as a lifelong Astros fan, with my greatest happiness, on par with the Houston Rockets. But the Rockets had a very relatively small window of ultra excitement. I mean, I rode it out with Dream and the Rockets for a long time, and we had our ups and downs. Then you had back-to-back championships, which was incredible. But then it really started you dealt Sam Cassell and Robert Ori away, and you just got prematurely much older much more quickly. And then it faded away very, very quickly. The Astros are the longest run that I've had as a sports fan in Houston. It's the longest any of us have had of a really good team. So as much as I'm, you know, tired of seeing every good player get away from the Astros once they hit the open market, as much as I, you know, people focus on the payroll, a lot of this payroll has been with guys who are dead contracts. You know, when it comes to spending money on, they will do the Abreu move, won a good contract, the Christian Walkers of the world. They'll spend a little money, but it won't be, you know, you're not going to go spend top-end money, but you're going to spend for someone you think you're getting a little bit of a bargain buy on who's later in their career. Those are always dangerous moves in acquisitions, because, like with Abreu, that guy was falling off the cliff. He was falling off the cliff. And Christian Walker has been okay. It's been okay. It wasn't great last year. It's been better this year. I would say it hasn't lived up to what you hope, but he's at least closed the gap a little bit. But I'm just going to have a hard time getting mad at Jim Crane. I won't say the general manager still need to do – like Dana's still got to do a better job. He's got a job to do what's right with the roster, and I don't think he's done a very good job, honestly. But with Jim Crane, I just can't get so upset because he brought – you know, he was the one of the architects who brought – and he was – individually responsible for Justin Verlander coming to Houston. So I just can't get it in my heart. I get a little disgusted with this penny pension, but at the same time, what am I going to do? The guy brought me great baseball for a long time, a relatively long time.
So you would look at yourself as a reasonable fan.
I'm a very reasonable fan.
A reasonable person, but a reasonable fan. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. So we are 3 years removed, really, from actual real contention. That is the ALCS loss to the Rangers. 2024, no, that team wasn't very good, and they lost to the Tigers. In 2025, we remember what happened. Right. How many years before does you need? I won't say regime.
For me or for?
I won't say regime change because it sounds like government. But yeah, let's say let's say the Espada Brown era ends maybe this season.
Yeah, I think so.
So whoever it is hired to replace them, how long are you giving that manager-GM combo before you get really disenchanted with what's going on, if they don't flip what seems like a decline?
Yeah, it's a good question because it even though it's not their fault, we all carry with us the history of our most recent history of the team. So I'll give you an example. Bobby Slowick is cooked over there in Miami to me. He's the new offensive play caller in Miami. I don't see, like, everyone is predicting Miami to be one of the worst teams in the AFC. I don't see how Bobby, and this is his year and he has to do it, but the fans are going to turn on him quick if this offense with a first-time full-time starter in Malik Willis. And I'm using him as an example because we've seen him before. He almost has no chance getting in there. I was looking at reading an article. There's like 30 new play callers on offense and defense in the NFL this year. I think it's a record. And I looked at Bobby Slowick in Miami. I'm like, this guy's dead man walking. This is a no-win job. And if you come into the Astros and you've had this steady decline, what did I compare it to? I compared it where you lose players every year. I had a comparison that was brilliant the other day on this.
You're
radio.
Calling your own comparison
it was,
brilliant.
It really was.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember.
See, not that reasonable as a person.
I'm trying to remember the comparison I made to something else. I think in sport where you just are going to lose. You just know you're going to lose. It's an attrition that you can do nothing about. And your minor league system right now is not great. Obviously, it's always near the bottom over the last 3 years. And yeah, you have guys come up who fill in some spaces, and that's great. But I'm talking about guys who are you filling in for George? Are you finding the next George Springer? Are you finding the next Kyle Tucker, you finding the next Alex Bregman? That doesn't seem to be something that's happening. So you really have no choice but to just decline. That's where you're headed. You, it's not on the roster. It's not in the cards unless you make a trade and refresh and replenish your by adding three new young talents from somebody else's system that you already know is good. Unless you're willing to do that, you're just going to go down this slow spiral to mediocrity. I don't see how a new manager, a new general manager, I don't see how they can avoid the pitfalls that come with fans' frustration that is continuing to mount. It won't be their fault, but honestly, those guys will probably get 2 years. For me, I'll give them probably 3 years, depending on how they perform in the first 2 years. But they're going to be dealing with the frustration of fans beginning to turn on Jim Crane, and it's already happening. And it was just a matter of time when your model is letting guys walk, your fans will eventually, in every sport, they'll begin to turn on you unless you are rebuilding through the draft and they haven't done it enough.
And that'll be the thing if the inevitable, at least seemingly inevitable, happens that there's a new manager in GM. Will there be a clear decision about how they move forward and will they let people know about it? Is it this scenario where, hey, we're going to contend because I said that the window's always open while I'm here, but
mistake.
We don't really have a real path to contend.
Yeah, it's a mistake
we're
to just say that.
We're filling spots with spackle to try to make to stay competitive. are we really contending, or are we just trying to make sure we don't fall off a cliff?
What's your plan? Like, this is what I don't like. Jim Crane seems to have fallen into the Drayton McClain mistake of wanting it's a public relations thing where you don't want people and ticket holders and suite holders to think that you're not contending for a championship. The reality is you're not this year. You don't, there's nowhere on your roster that looks like it. And for any other team in the past who understands their plight, they would move Josh Hader. They just get off a Hader because you say, we just don't need a closer. It's nice to have one. He's a very good player, but because he's very good and there's some more club control, he's a little more expensive, but you have him under contract, he has some value. And another team, I think a smarter team in terms of team building, because Jim has built it up from one way, tore it down to the studs. Well, you know what's harder is rebuilding on the fly. It was hard for Daryl Morey. He couldn't figure it out. And I think a lot of these owners, and Jim Crane falls into this category, I think, he doesn't want to admit where he is. Like, he doesn't want to admit that there is a new plan that should be taking place. And maybe they're quietly behind the scenes doing it. But what is your plan for rebuilding this team? If you're not honest with yourself about your own team, how can you rebuild? You can't rebuild without, unless you say, okay, we're going to get faster, or we're going to really focus on getting and taking our lumps with young pitching, and we're going to get some good young starters, and we're going to throw them a decent amount of innings, and we'll take our lumps early on because this is going to be a 2-year or a 3-year plan. You're right. All they're doing is window still open. We'll just try and roll with older Jose Altuve. Yordan's incredible. But they don't have a plan that I can see for rebuilding the roster into what is a championship roster. We know what it looks like. We've seen how good it's been. It doesn't look like this. Nope. And I'm not saying these games are worthless to play, but I'm saying if you're not building in any sport, if your team isn't trying to figure out a way to build towards a championship, and that way it doesn't have to be, you know, going with a big three in basketball. There's different ways. That's why I don't think trying to get older and throw another star at the Rockets, I actually don't think that's the right move for them. And for the Astros, I think they need to be honest. And it's hard because you are competing for the division right now. Like, I get it. I wouldn't want to move off of Yordan unless, but if somebody gave you a deal that was so good that you thought you had two surefire, if you knew you were getting C.J. Abrams and James Wood, who were acquired for Juan Soto, I mean, if you knew for a fact, which you don't, that those guys would play at that level, it's hard to pass on brand new club control if you're a team like Houston, who your entire model is built on club control and winning under club control.
And we'll go to break here. It's just interesting, and the question will be for me at least, if new hires across the board happen, How is Jim Crane being sold? By the GM, the new GM. Does the new GM come?
How is he being sold on him being the new GM?
Yeah, does he come in and go, no, we still can, the window's open. I got ways to patch this together. Or does the GM come in and go, hey, this is the way it has to
tell
go.
Tell you what you want to hear, yeah, or what you think is
and
real.
And will Jim Crane want to listen to what he may have to listen to, or does he want to be told, no, we can still win games. We can be a team who's on the verge of winning 90 with a couple small moves here. So when you're this deep into it, when all you've pretty much known is success since you tore it down, what do you want to hear, and can you hear what's real and what's true, and then start fresh? And I don't know that he would want to do that at this point after so many years of being like a dynasty in the AL.
Yeah, I think he's having a hard time getting away from the reality of what it was. Instead of looking forward to what it could be, I think Jim Crane seems to be having a hard time with that. I just don't see a plan in place under Dana Brown. And like I said, maybe behind the scenes they're having conversations. I don't know for a fact, but it doesn't appear to be. I don't see any immediate future where you got, well, what about this guy, and this guy coming up? I don't see that in the minors. Let's break it right here. It's 8:45. We're live at East River 9. We invite you, if you want to jump in on the tail end of the Astros conversation, you guys can jump in. That's what Dylan and I do is talk baseball. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. LeBron James is going to be making his decision soon. There's a lot of people who are just like, oh, not this again. Not this decision part two again, all over again. But there is a very intriguing landing spot, and I will hit on that very quickly when we come back. 713-780-3776. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, Coach Reese says, I think it's a wrap. Crane has shown he's another penny-pinching, meddling owner. Not as cheesy as Drayton McClain, though. So there's that. There is some meddling. It's worked in, on his behalf. He knows baseball better than that lettuce salesman who used to own the Astros in the past. So I'll give Jim Crane that. Unfortunately, when we didn't have a GM, the worst, we just rolled out some terrible contracts, which showed, yeah, you better get a real GM in here. Some really awful contracts going on right now.
AJ knows because he had to pull it up. We finally, the phone that provides a streaming video is in a spot where we can actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the light shining.
Can't even see.
You can see you, but look, it's not working for me. AJ can see it right now. AJ knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's crazy.
Photo negative?
It's crazy.
Let me see, man. Let me see.
I'm not going to smile either, so don't
worry. Oh, yeah. I can see you now.
Yeah.
I can see you're not going to smile.
Nope. Not doing it for anyone. You're not getting that image.
Not for me. All right. I'm not gonna sit on this one for too long, but I'll just get it out of the way. Because I actually have some. This is interesting to me. LeBron James back to South Beach in Miami. What do you think? I mean, I could see him. Well, so Pat Riley's trying to sell LeBron. Giannis is there, obviously. I think LeBron liked his time in Miami when he was there. I think he liked living there. It's one of the spots. I think the spots would be Golden State, Cleveland, and Miami. I think it's going to be one of those three. There were some rumblings, and I don't know if there were rumblings or if it was just something being thrown out there that Anthony Edwards would be a good combination. I can't see LeBron living in Minnesota. I think quality of life is going to matter to him at this
stage.
Well,
we always hear, and well, always, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's about, we hear golf mentioned quite a bit and wanting to certainly be in a spot where basketball matters, but his happiness matters more. And would he be happy sharing ball handling duties with LaMelo Ball? I don't know that would be of interest to LeBron. As far as Miami's concerned, Pat Riley talked about it yesterday, said, we're like everyone else, just waiting around. And mm-hmm. LeBron has his responsibilities to sponsors in the summer, so he's doing podcasts. I think he was at a Fanatics event yesterday and did a podcast there and said, the decision isn't imminent at all, and that has been reporting. I think this could possibly drag on into August, which isn't good for anyone, particularly if you are trying to build a team and you have one roster spot waiting open for LeBron, you'll do it because he's.
Why do you think it could drag?
Because I don't. Whether he knows or not,
You don't think he knows?
I think he does. I don't think it requires.
He's not taking official visits to another college where he's like, I've never been on this campus. This is a nice campus.
That's some of the debate. Like you've been, you know what Miami is. You know what Cleveland is. And you have your connection with Steph with Golden State in San Francisco. So, what are you really deciding on, other than making this a thing that you are the story all summer? And I don't think he's beyond that. So, could this be a thing where we get to a real quiet part in the news cycle, which you thought All Star Week would have been, but you still had the World Cup? I am not putting it past him to say, "Hey, let me have a news cycle to myself."
No, I wouldn't put that past
to
him.
To do it, whether it's and you've got the World Cup final on Sunday. Does it pop off next week? Because they're literally, or not literally, but unless you care deeply about late July baseball, there's not a lot going on next week, and Summer League will be over, I think, as well. So he may just have this path to be the guy that people discuss over the next week and a half to 2 weeks. I would not be surprised if it gets in August, because the teams that are interested will hold a roster spot open for him until he decides. They don't. These teams don't have a lot of money, so either he's taking some teams have a bits and pieces of the mid-level left, or he's taking the minimum, which I cannot imagine he would do.
I can't imagine.
So would he, if it's Golden State, put pressure on them to make an AD trade? Hey, I know you're not in a spot to give the Wizards anything. You can give them Jimmy and picks, and then you got AD, and then there could be some money for me, and I'll go there. I could see him trying to strong-arm a couple teams to see if they'll do what he'd like and also get a couple more bucks. So he doesn't. I don't think he wants to be seen playing for like $6.5 million or $2.3 million, whatever it is, for the veteran minimum.
Even though he would be like, what is there to actually lose? I'm sure the NBA Players Association probably wouldn't like it, but this is a very unique situation. This is one of the greatest players to ever play the game. He's made more money than probably anybody in NBA history, I would assume. Like, this would be a move. It's almost unfair. It's almost unfair to say, well, wait a minute. That's not fair for you to have a player at $6.5 million
of LeBron's
caliber. Even though he's older, we know his caliber's still high.
Yeah, if he was 31, the NFL, NBAPA wouldn't want this to happen.
No, they'd flip out.
They
can't say anything about him.
What can you tell
him? And this
is
a unique situation.
Yeah, he could have made more money elsewhere, but no team who was contending had money to give. That's how the CBA works.
AJ, before we get to a break, can you hear me? Are you on right now, AJ?
Yeah.
I gotta have you. Okay, so we have a stream. You can watch our show on X. You can watch a show every single day. You can watch on YouTube. We have a Twitch stream. We have, what's the other one? Is there another one? We have YouTube. We have X. Those are the two primary ones.
Twitter. We tweet it out on Twitter. People can watch it.
Twitter.
There too.
Yeah. So there's videos of our show, and there's a video now. And Dell is
what's the video?
There's a lot of light behind you. So anybody who's taking pictures, you know,
yeah.
You
Lexi, know what Lexi just took a couple pictures. I don't even know how they
came out terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure
because the light source
because of the light source.
No, the light source needs to be from the front.
Okay,
and not from the back. If your sole light source is from the back, anybody who's taking pictures, like I've had to with family, and then. Because I know we can take a bunch of pictures, and my wife will say, note all of them, we have to start all over. So I've gotten this down. I know where the light source needs to come from. It's not great for you right now.
No, not at all.
This is what some people are saying. People are saying
that's
this.
That's why I got out in front of it. You know, like Eminem in 8 Mile, he made all the jokes about himself, so Papa Talk.
You stole it. You took it away.
I tried to steal
some
of the juice from these
people. One person said, Dell looks angelic.
That's nice.
Well, what about this one? Dell looks like a player you haven't unlocked in a video game yet.
I like that, too. These are not
That's a pretty clever one.
These aren't insulting. I like
That's
these.
That's a pretty clever one right there. Those are the only two we have up to this point.
Those are clever, and I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
No one has said, hey, Dell, smile more. No one has said that as of yet, which would lead to
I don't
to
know
some
what
ugly
this
means. What?
Dell has tapped into his full Shinigami form.
I'd have to look that up. I don't know. I'm a nerd, and I don't know what that means.
Okay. Yeah. I'm assuming it's some type of anime, but I don't really know what that is.
Yeah, you can see right now, as you mentioned, all the available ways you can watch this. You can probably see the white Nike swoosh on my hat, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can discern a figure there. There's a laptop. You know there's a person there. But if you did not know who was speaking, you would not be able to tell. It's just a bad setup as far as light is concerned, and we'll deal with it. I'll have to move once you wrap it up for the day.
To put a bow on the LeBron James stuff, it's Coach Reese says he's going to Golden State. They've talked about it for years. That is, Steve Kerr made a comment the other day. Somebody got an audio of him. He was parked next to some car, and somebody goes, go out, get LeBron. He goes,
since
we've got him.
Yeah, we've got him.
Or something like that.
Which is just Steve Kerr's sense of humor. I don't think there's anything.
You don't?
I think that's Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr wouldn't
take
LeBron. Look, he's not taking LeBron's moment away from him. It is Steve Kerr being glib more than anything else. Whether he knows or not, I don't know. But all the alleged contenders are towing the line of saying, we'd love to have him. And because he has his rights renounced, they can't actually talk about him. It wouldn't be a violation. And they're saying, hey, we know as much as you. We're waiting on his decision. And I think these teams, because of his impact, will wait. And they will move forward after he makes a decision, whether it's in Cleveland, where he would have less ball handling duties, or Golden State or Miami, where he could be a pseudo like point guard for them. I mean, of course, Steph is there. You want the ball in his hands, too. But he could be...
be interesting to see how they would use him there, especially if Draymond's coming back. Draymond hasn't re-signed with them yet,
he's
right?
He's waiting until... this LeBron thing works out.
I presume making sure the money can fit where the – so basically, Draymond, you got to take less money. Like, I don't know how they're going to make it work where both of them take
well, they're both
in the 20s.
Clutch clients, and Draymond has opted out of a deal where a lot of people, right or wrong, thought he was making more than he was worth with Golden State at his age. There would be, it would make no sense other than to make Draymond whole to give him a salary that matches. You'll give him an extra couple of years, particularly if you get LeBron. So though, however long it goes.
I thought of something. He could speak for tree companies.
Sure, he could, but he would actually have to speak for them.
Mm.
That would help, considering that investigation has held up a trade, a trade no one thought was coming.
And sent a CEO to prison.
Yeah, so Toronto, the week or two.
What was that called? Aspire?
Aspiration.
Aspiration.
Toronto had a week or two where, can't believe we got Kawhi. We made the playoffs last year. We got rid of Brandon Ingram plus other stuff. We have a chance. Mm. And now
your
organization has decided, until this is figured out, we're going to hold up on the trade. So a lot of outstanding business that still needs to be done in the NBA with a couple guys who are like, 36 and 41, 42 years old, but are still very effective players.
All right, let's break it right here. We break it. We'll come back. We'll finish up the last hour. We're live at East River 9. The entire shows, all the shows from ESPN 97.5 will be out here throughout the day. So if you want to come by, grab lunch, grab something to drink, go bring your golf clubs and go hit some balls, or maybe get your weekend started early with a round of par 3 golf or pickleball and then some drinks afterwards. Do that, but there's plenty of spots to sit here. There's plenty of televisions, all available in East Downtown at East River 9. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Keep it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.